Thanks, Ed and the worship team. Well, next Sunday, we're starting multiple morning services. Yeah, that's good, right? I'm excited because, you know, as I said to you last week, there are piles of churches that would love to be in the position that we're in, where we need to do this to accommodate the growth that God is bringing to us. And that's something we should celebrate, right? And I understand that for some, change is hard. Get over yourself. It just takes a little while, right? Because the fact is we all need to get over ourselves, right? Because it isn't actually about us. It's about Jesus, and it's about reaching more people within our community. Amen. Right? We want to see. We want to see everybody in Campbell River, right, experience and encounter the life-changing love of Jesus, don't we? Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Bob. All right. Let me ask you, do you like surprises? Yeah. Some of you do, some of you don't. Yeah, some of you. Isn't that funny, right? The different reactions. So some of you right away, yeah, because you anticipate that it's going to be something good. And some of you are like, no. Because even if it's good, you're like, I don't know. I don't. You know, Angela loves surprises. I figured this out early on in our relationship because I would buy Angela's Christmas present in like June or July. And I'd be like, I bought your Christmas present today. Do you want to know what it is? Because for me, if you know me, right, I want her to say yes, though I can say, I'm not telling you. Right, that's me. And so I'd say, do you want to know what your present is? She's like, no. No, I don't want to know. I like surprises. So that's Angela. And that frustrated me, but we got over it. And years of counseling, I've been healed and I'm better. Angela loves surprises. Lots of people do. But you know, sometimes in life, we come across unwanted, undesirable, or unpleasant surprises, don't we? We experience those. It's very likely that every single person in this room, at some point in time, you've had just that, an unexpected, an unpleasant, unwanted surprise. Whether, you know, the loss of a job or a relationship that maybe derailed, that you weren't expecting, didn't see coming. Sometimes it's an unexpected diagnosis. There can be all kinds of things that come to us that are unwanted, unexpected. And as we walk through those things in life and in faith, as we walk through those, that we have choices to make in the midst of them. Choices about whether or not we will trust God in the midst of it. If we will willfully depend on Him. If we will choose to depend on Him even when it hurts. Even when we don't understand. Because let's be honest, we don't always get the luxury, right, of understanding. As much as we actually really desire that. And so we have choices to make. Will we really trust Him? Will we really depend on Him fully, wholly, instead of trying to figure it out on our own? Have you ever had something that you didn't like, didn't want, and it maybe deeply affected your life, and you've spent a lot of time asking God why it happened? Right, me too. We don't always get that luxury. And the questioning of why, sometimes God is good to show us, and other times, see, my statement even implies that He isn't good on the other end, because He's always, always good. And we have choices to make, whether we trust Him or we don't. In Matthew 23, got to turn this on for it to work. In Matthew 23, right, Jesus says, "The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." You know, at the time when Jesus made this statement, this would have been a surprising statement. Like, it would have been a surprising thing for them to hear. Because it's just so different than the way their world works, and it's certainly different than the way that our world works. We've been talking about pride and humility, that within the kingdom of God, up is down, that God, that's just the way that his kingdom works. Pride is choosing independence from God. So when I talk to you about we have choices to make, whether or not we're going to trust him or not, or if we will figure it out on our own, I understand that sometimes the hurt, the confusion, the lack of understanding makes you want to figure it out. To have the why answer as though it's somehow going to bring us peace. Maybe it isn't so much about bringing you peace as if you knew why, then you could go about and correct it, right? We're really just looking to figure it out on our own when we do this. Pride is choosing independence from God, going your own way, doing your own thing. Now, understand, it might not look like outright rebellion. Okay, you might not be digging your heels in, like fully, wholly saying, I'm not doing it. I'm not going there. I'm not going to, I'm just not doing it. Right? We've often learned, especially in a context of a faith community, we've learned to not be outright rebellious, right? Instead, what do? We use terms like, well, I'm just not ready for that yet. You know, God's asking me to do this or to be that, but I've got other things I need to focus on first. So it might not be outright digging your heels in. You might just be dragging your feet instead. You ever drag your feet with God? Yeah, me too. See, when we do this, we're engaging in a prideful place as though what we're saying to God is, I know better for me than you do. And what God wants from us, right, is to be dependent upon him. To say, okay, God, I'll trust you. No matter who it is you ask me to be, no matter what it is you're asking to do in my life and through my life. I mean, think about it. Like, why do we do this? Why do we resist or drag our feet? Why do we do these things? I think we do it out of fear. I think we know it's going to make us uncomfortable. Who likes to be uncomfortable? Oh, a couple. You don't lie in church. Nobody likes to be uncomfortable. And I know I've said this to you before. I think that's one of the reasons the Holy Spirit's called the Comforter, because he's going to push us out of our comfort zone. But we use excuses like this, right? I'm scared to do that. I'm fearful. And we use things like, well, I don't know enough yet. Like, I don't know enough about God, or I don't know enough about the Bible, or I don't know enough about a particular situation or circumstance in order for God to use me in that way. I'm scared. I'm fearful. One of the things that I've heard from believers over and over again is, what if I pray, for example, what if I pray for somebody to be healed and God doesn't answer? And there's fear behind that. All right, he answers. The answer's his, is what I'm saying. Our job is just to pray with faith and belief. He does what he pleases. He does as he desires, as he wills. And I believe that it's his will to heal. We don't always get the luxury of understanding. But we do always have the option of trust. Lots of times we'll say we're not ready, that we don't feel ready to do things, or We sometimes use that term, I'm not ready to do that yet. We use it really as an excuse because the truth is we just don't want to pay the price that change requires. We're all like that. Each and every one of us have these moments where we don't want to pay the price that change requires. And yet it isn't what God desires from us. It isn't actually a thing that will lead you into a meaningful life of faith. Do you want a life that has meaning? And do you want your faith life to have meaning? I mean, I'm assuming you do because you're here this morning. You might be here for other reasons, but generally, right? We gather because it's like, I want my faith to actually mean something. Honestly, I think, not on a regular basis, but it crosses my mind fairly regularly. I don't mean daily, but where I think, you know what, when I get to the end of my life, I want to be able to look back and go, that was worth it. Amen. It was worth it. Wasn't always easy, wasn't always simple, but it was worth it. I depended, I trusted in God, and look what he did. Right? I don't want to get to the end and think, boy, I wish it had been different. I wish I'd trusted him more. I don't think any of us are there, and yet we I don't think any of us really want that. I don't think anybody who's seriously interested in faith thinks, boy, I can't wait to get to the end and go, oh, sorry, Jesus, I could have done better. Right? We want our life to mean something. And yet, we let other things often get in the way. And understand, one of the primary things that gets in the way is our pride. Pride being independence from God. Here's the thing, as you grow in your relationship with God, he will begin to ask for things from you that you're not always sure you're ready to give up to him. He'll ask you to do things for others that maybe you're not sure you're ready to do. He'll ask you for things. He'll ask you for attitudes that need to shift and change, ways of thinking. He'll ask you to forgive people that have hurt you. He'll ask you for the hurt itself. He'll ask you to give up control, selfishness. He'll ask you to love other people that maybe you don't want to love. He'll ask you to serve. He'll ask you to take steps of faith. You ever had God ask you to do something you weren't ready to do? Of course, right? And we all know, if you've engaged in that, you all know that you've had times where you didn't do it, and times that you did, and times it went well, and times that it didn't. The fact is that God will continually, as we grow in a relationship with him, he will continually ask us for things that we don't think or feel like we're ready to give. Now, let me ask you this. He's good, right? Does God know what he's doing? Yeah. So if he asks for it, he probably knows what he's doing, right? Isn't it amazing how subtle pride can be? God says, I want you to forgive that person. And what do we say? I'm not ready yet. And God's probably like, I'm pretty sure you are. I wouldn't have asked. Right? Right? The fact that it pushes us into uncomfortable areas isn't the indicator that we're not ready. It's just the indicator that we're uncomfortable. Or we're fearful. Or we just don't want to for whatever reason. God asks us for things. Why does he do that? Why does he do that? He does it because he's molding and shaping us into the likeness of Jesus. God's goal is for you to be like Jesus here on earth. Okay, some of you aren't sure you believe me, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. He's molding and shaping you to be like Jesus. People loved to be around Jesus. People still love to be around Jesus. There was nobody that had more life just kind of vibrating out of him. There was nobody that was more loving or forgiving or merciful or tender. He spoke truth that transformed. People love to be around Jesus, and they still do. Why is God making you, molding you to be more like Jesus? Jesus was kind and compassionate. He didn't speak judgment towards anyone that was sincerely seeking God. He was so loving that people would just feel the conviction of God as they were around him. We think, here's a great example of pride. We think we have to present truth in a way that kind of breaks through people's thinking and mindset in order for them to experience conviction. But Scripture says it's the kindness of God that draws people to places where they will actually have real life change. Jesus was so incredibly kind to those that were sincerely seeking God. They came with hearts open, wanting to hear what he'd said. And so they just experienced this, I want to change because of how loving you are. Why is God making us and molding us into the likeness of Jesus? It's not just for you. It is for you, but then it's for others. The Father is shaping you to be more like Jesus because people love to be around Jesus. Understand, I want you to know this today. God actually desires you to move into important, influential places in this world. God desires this from you. He wants you to move into greater things in your life. People in faith for a long, long time have had, self-esteem issues, for lack of a better word. God wants to promote you. God wants to move you into greater things, to incredible, miraculous, supernatural things. You, not just me, right? It isn't reserved for people with reverend in front of their name. It's for each and every one of us because he's making us all to be like, more like Jesus. God desires to use you to do important, influential things in our world. He wants to move you into greater places of influence. We sing a song and we often quote it, if God's for us, who can be against us? Is God for you? Amen. Then who can be against you? So, when I say to you, God wants to use you to do important things or move you into influential places, for some of you, the immediate reaction is, oh, God can't use me that way. I don't know enough, I'm not smart enough, or I'm just, whatever it is. And the fact is that that is actually a form of pride that gets in the way. God wants to use you in greater and increasing ways. The degree to which we will humble ourselves and allow Jesus to be formed in us will determine the level of influence that we're given. The unexpected, unpleasant, and unwanted things of life, while difficult and painful, are also opportunities for promotion. This is why humility is important to God. It would allow you to view the unwanted things in life as opportunities for God to grow you, to promote you into greater things. Just a few chapters before Matthew 23, Jesus has this interaction with a mom of two of the disciples. It's Matthew 20. It says, then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. What is your request? He asked. She replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you. One at your right, and the other at your left. That's a pretty bold request, right? On one hand, I'm impressed. Like, you have to admire that, right? Says, but Jesus answered by saying to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Oh, yes, they replied. We are able. These boys obviously don't know what they're saying. because Jesus, the bitter cup, of course, he's referring to the cross. They don't get it yet. It's amazing how pride can make you look foolish. Right? Oh, yes, they replied. We are able. Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup. You know, one of the things that I wonder, because what he's saying to them, you will be martyrs, and they are. They die for their faith later on. And I often wonder, if they hadn't come with this question, right, would that have been what was going to happen to them? Would I think maybe in response to their pride, Jesus says, well, guess what now? You will get to enjoy the same bitter cup that I'm about to drink from. He says, I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. Probably because they were thinking, that should be my spot. Right? But Jesus called them together and he said, you know that the rulers in the world lord it over their people and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. At this point in time, when the disciples come and the mom asks this question, it's funny that they want positions of authority, but they have to have their mom ask for them. When they come, come on, right? It is true, I know, isn't that funny? At this point in time, the disciples, they're still thinking that Jesus' kingdom is going to be a literal physical kingdom. They think that he's come to take over, to throw out the Romans that have that are ruling over them, and that he is going to be a physical king here on earth. They haven't grasped yet that Jesus' kingdom is spiritual in nature. This is why they're asking what they're asking. And they're vying for positions of importance within this kingdom. They're looking for importance. They're looking for meaning in a position. We pursue these things, right? If I could get to a place where other people think I'm important, I'll feel better about me. If I could just get a position where I can finally make some decisions, I'll really be able to change some things. See, pride will mess up your priorities. You start to put yourself ahead of everyone and everything else. Right? These two guys come ahead of the other 10 who maybe part of the reason they might have been indignant was thinking, oh, I wish I'd thought of that. But the fact is they've put themselves ahead of the others. Pride will make you value what you can accomplish over who you are as a person. And God would flip that priority because up is down. God's way more interested in who you are than what you can do. He's way more interested in you being like Jesus than doing what Jesus did. Now, God wants you to do what Jesus did, but there is a priority order from God that is different than ours. Different than the world's. See, it's a lie to think that once you reach a certain position of ability or influence, that life will suddenly fall into place and everything will start to work. It's just not how the kingdom of God works. God works from the inside out. So these two guys, looking for a promotion. Understand, God desires to promote you. He does. God desires to bring you into places of increase, of greater influence and understanding, greater power within his kingdom. He wants to use you in increasing ways. He desires to bring you into new places of authority and influence in his kingdom. To have an increasing measure of God's Spirit at work in you and through you. He desires for your faith to grow and to increase and to become stronger. And that comes through humility. So Jesus calls these guys together and he says, "You know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different." Among you, it'll be different. When we interact with one another, and when we engage and encounter the people in our world, it should be different than the world's model. It should be different when people encounter us. Not only, like, we shouldn't be positioning for power or influence or trying to prove ourselves. We shouldn't make it about who's right and who's wrong. Or sometimes we make it about who's right and who's less right. You know, everybody in this room thinks that they know something better than somebody else. We all think it. We all think, no, I know that really well, probably better than others. We all think those things. We just don't often admit them. Right? It's not about who's right and then less and who's less right or who's wrong. Instead, there should be a culture of serving one another, loving one another. This is to be the mindset. This is to be the culture in which we engage, that we are a part of. Because to be the greatest, you become a servant. Right? I asked you the question, do you want to get to the end of your life and have it be meaningful? Yes. That involves greatness. Doing things for God, sure, you can look back at and go, God, I worship you, I praise you for what you did in my life and through my life. Great things. Because I chose to be humble, I chose to serve other people. See, it shouldn't look like us fighting for positions, gaining influence through worldly methods. You know, I crossed my mind this week as I was writing this. You know, Scripture says that when the righteous rule, people rejoice. When the righteous rule, people rejoice. God, if God's for you, who can be against you? Let me encourage you. Because I believe that in this room, within some of you, God has created a dream, a desire to move into areas within our world, political, government positions, places of influence. We had people run for school board last year. Keep doing that. God desires you to move into places where you can be influenced, or you can be an influencer. He desires for the righteous to come and to rule. And you might think, well, I could never do that. I'm so unqualified. If God's for you, who can be against you? You might be unqualified. I don't know. Is it hard? It's hard to tell if anybody in those jobs are ever qualified, isn't it? I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just saying, like, sometimes it's so hard to know. I think that's why God tells us to pray so much for them. God wants you to be positioned for power and influence, for speaking truth that transforms, just like Jesus did. He wants you to be a leader in your home. He wants you to be a leader in your workplace and in your community. But that comes through humility. Because the degree to which you will humble yourself and allow Jesus to be formed in you will determine the level of influence that you're given. It's the life-changing love of Jesus that's meant to motivate our serving. That's meant to be the difference in how we treat one another. For that culture to exist here. You see, it's the life-changing love of Jesus that sustains you when the unexpected and unwanted happens in your life. It's the life-changing love of Jesus that makes a true difference to you and to others. The thing with pride is that pride will keep you from receiving love correctly. Because pride is being independent. So you're saying, I have to be loved on my terms. That doesn't really work with God. So I've noticed. If you want a meaningful faith, you have to abandon your pride. Which means this, it means you give up your expectations of how you can and can't be used by God. You have to give up your expectations of how you can and can't be used by God. You know, some years ago in church, we love to give people tests on their spiritual giftings, right? Do you ever take any of those? Right? And you'd take it and you'd find, oh, hey, these are my spiritual giftings. And then what I noticed, well, it's neat to find that out maybe to a point, but then what I noticed is that people would go, oh, sorry, no, I can't do that because these are my spiritual giftings. Right? But then we take personality tests, which can be really helpful. And you say, well, I don't really get along with that person because our personalities don't line up. Really? I wonder what Jesus would say. Yeah, right? You're all like, oh, yeah, shoot, that doesn't work. You see, because when the degree to which we will humble ourselves and allow Jesus to be formed in us will determine the level of influence that he gives us. If you want meaningful faith, abandon your pride, your expectations of how you can and can't be used by God. And it means that you trust him in all situations, expected or unexpected, wanted or unwanted. And it means this, it means that your mindset is that greatness is found in serving other people, not in a position, not in a place, a job, or a title. You give up finding significance in anything else except knowing Jesus, the life-changing love of Jesus. See, in the kingdom of God, up is down. If you want to go higher, you have to go lower. If you want to be a ruler, if you want to be a leader, you have to become a servant. And understand, God wants you to lead. There's just no other legitimate route to promotion within the kingdom of God except to humble yourself. D.L. Moody, he wrote this. He's a preacher from some time ago that God did significant things through. He wrote this. He said, I used to think that God's gifts were on shelves, one above the other, and that the taller we grew in Christian character, the easier we could reach them. I now find that God's gifts are on shelves, one beneath the other. It's not a question of growing taller, but of stooping lower. That we have to go down, always down, to get his best gifts. So, the question that I have for you this morning, the question I have is, it isn't do you want to be great? You were created for greatness. He's making you to be more like Jesus, right? Isn't Jesus the greatest person to have ever walked the earth? He's created you for greatness. And I understand for some of you, you immediately, whoa, wait, that could be prideful. No, it's about Jesus being formed in you. Right? So the question isn't, do you want to be great? You were created for greatness, to do incredible, miraculous, supernatural things here on earth. From mountain moving to just being kind to the person that absolutely does not deserve it. To be like Jesus. So the question isn't, do you want to be great? The question is, are you willing to be humble? Are you willing to say, okay, God, I'll depend on you in each and every circumstance, whether I understand it or I don't. I'll be humble. I'll let you use me however you want to use me. I'll love the people you tell me to love. I'll be kind to people as Jesus was. I'll serve those that maybe I don't like, that I don't want to serve. I'll be like you. Are you willing to be humble? It's a question each of us have to face and ask. So here's some homework for you for the week. I want you to find somebody. Find somebody and serve them. Find somebody that you would think, I don't really want to serve them. And ask them what you can do for them. Yeah. Ask them what you can do for them. Now, if somebody, you know, it just crossed my mind. Later, you're going to be in for coffee, and somebody's going to come up to you and say, what can I do for you? Maybe wait till after church. Because they probably will put the pieces of that puzzle together. You think it's funny out here. You should see what's in here. Find somebody and serve them. Humble yourself. All right, I'm going to invite the worship team. Here you come. We're going to, I'd like to give opportunity for prayer today. If you want prayer, maybe you want to come and just commit to being humble, that's fine. But if you need prayer for anything, right? If you just need God to do something in your life, it doesn't matter. If you just need prayer today, if you want somebody to pray with you, to agree for something supernatural and miraculous, if you want to begin to see God do great things in your life, we want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. And because we just believe that that's the kind of God that he is, that as we pray together, he moves and works. So I invite you to stand. I know there's some of you that I've talked with over weeks about you love to pray with other people. I'm going to invite you to come down and to be ready to pray with other people. As the worship team starts to sing, if you want prayer today, then come on down. Come on down and be prayed for.